Psalm 140. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. I said to the Lord, you are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked scheme, lest they be exalted. As for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Again, here is a psalm of David, which he gives to the chief musician, and so he wants it played well. And here is a psalm about evil and evil men, and evil men that were trying to, it seems, to get David. And this may have been a psalm that David wrote when Saul was chasing him, and other men were with Saul, obviously an army, trying to get him, trying to surround him, trying to destroy him. And David prays in the midst of this, or it could have been other situations like this, but he was praying, and first for deliverance from evil. We see here a prayer for deliverance from evil. Verse 1, he says, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. And if you read it like I did, it almost sounded like what Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, verse 13 of Matthew 6, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Here David prays for deliverance from evil men. We pray for deliverance from Satan and his minions, the evil one. David was praying, as I said, against evil men. And Jesus teaches us to pray against the evil spiritual forces behind those evil men when he says against the evil one. Paul wrote, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, Ephesians 6:12. When we meet at church, maybe some of the reasons that some are not here is because Satan is preventing them. He's given them temptations and he's given them troubles and maybe even sicknesses like he did Job. And we need to pray against these kind of things. This evil here in Psalm 140, though, included violence. He says, preserve me from violent men, verse 1b. And these were men that wanted to kill David. Saul himself threw a spear at David. These were men that, when they didn't get David, they killed all the priests. And the priests all had one place in town, and they killed all the priests' families in that town. That's violent men. Why did they kill the priests? They weren't David. Because one priest gave David a sword. This is what violent men do. It is premeditated. It's planned, it's schemed evil, who plan evil things in their hearts. None of these things were just spur of the moment. All of a sudden they had a reason to be angry with David. No, actually David gave them no reason if it's the situation with Saul, and yet they plan evil against him. And here we also see there is a unity. There's a group of people who gather like an army for an evil cause. It says they continually gather together for war. They're an army, they're a group, they're a team, and they're fighting for this cause. They are by nature evil liars. Their tongues are sharp for lying. It says they sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. Speaking in truth and love is a product of the new birth. It's a supernatural thing. Lying is as natural to an ungodly person as poison is natural to an asp, a snake. We all, at least before we are Christians, tend to lying. And even as believers, we still have that flesh we have to deal with. And here, he's talking about wicked men that were after him. And not only is the evil natural to them, but they hone it, they sharpen it, they consider it a certain skill when they're able to portray a good person in a nasty, evil way. And that's what they did with David, and that's what we see. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, what did they say to him about him? Oh, he's a wine bibbler, he's a drunkard. And about, they even said he was demon-possessed. Our Lord Jesus, who had nothing wrong about him, and yet they lied about him. In the next verses, verse 4, we see a repetition, and this is the second main point, a repetition of this prayer with slightly different wording. He says, keep me, meaning watch over me, guard me, or protect me. He says, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men. The repetition here shows us David's true heart in this prayer. He really feels that he's in danger. He's vulnerable. He may be even afraid in this circumstance, even though we don't typically think of David as fearful. His confidence is in the Lord, though. And he is, if it's Saul that's after him, he has an army surrounding him. He had a certain number of men with him, maybe like 300 men with him, but he had a great multitude against him. And yet his strength was in God and not himself. And so he prays. Keeping from the hands of the wicked, I believe, means their grip, their control, their catching of him. He wanted to pray specifically that they would not get him. And then you see they purpose, or have purpose, to make David stumble, who have purpose to make my steps stumble. Sometimes the ungodly want, and this is what we see they were constantly trying to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees would come up to him. They could not directly attack him, because there were always crowds of people around him. And so they asked him question after question after question. They wanted to make him say something that would either cause the people to attack him or maybe the Romans to attack him. And so one time they asked him about whether they should pay taxes to Caesar or not. And he says, give me a coin. And when he had the coin, he says, whose face is on that? And so he says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And whose image are we in? We as our whole being are in God's image. So we are to devote ourselves to God. And so he escaped their tricks and their traps. And here David is praying the same thing. They have purpose to make my steps stumble. They set traps. They set snares for David. It says the proud have hidden a snare for me, and cords, they have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. Again, it's traps, traps, traps. repeated. It's multiple traps. And this is what Satan does. We read about in Scripture the wiles of the devil, his methods, his tricks, his traps that he catches us in. Thirdly, David continues the same theme in his prayer, but this time expressing his confidence in the Lord's ability to save. Starting with verse 6 through 8. I said to the Lord, "You are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked scheme, lest they be exalted." See, David's confidence here is God is his God. He knows God is on his side. He sees his enemies as, well, they've got as far as they would and have because God has allowed them to get that far. But God, David is praying, do not let them go further. He did not rejoice, David, in his personal power. He's not saying, oh, I am the one that defeated Goliath. I can defeat all of these people, anything like that. Nor in superior weapons, nor in a bigger army. He probably, if this is the time that Saul is chasing him, he definitely didn't have those things. But if for some reason this is talking about, because it doesn't specifically say in the psalm what is the occasion of it, if it's while he's king, he probably had an army and he had soldiers around him, and yet he still does not boast in these. He still trusts in God alone, only in God. If God be for us, it says in Romans 8:11, who can be against us? And David knew that was true. David knew that God could stop all his enemies at once. He knew God was sovereign even over the wicked person's desires and schemes. Fourthly, David's prayer against the evil men. What they speak against David or others will happen to them. Just like Haman, who builds a gallows for Mordecai and it ends up hanging on it. David prays, "As for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them." The things that they say against David, he's saying, let their evil, the evil that they have pronounced they would do to me, let it happen to them. And then he prays for burning coals. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. That's hell, to be cast into the burning fiery pit. That's what we're reading about in the morning in Revelation. And Jesus' enemies definitely end up there. The feet of slander of the slanderer, let not a slanderer be established in the earth. How is a slanderer established? Well, as soon as he tells his lies, everybody starts believing in them. That's how a slanderer is established. But he's saying, let that not be happen. Let their lies not be believed. Let them not be established. Let everybody know that they are lying. They are slanderers. They said false things about me. Don't let his false words be believed by anyone. And then he says, let evil hunt. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. Evil can be considered two different ways. Sometimes in Scripture, evil is referring, like the first parts of this passage, evil men. And this could be saying, let them attack each other, let them kill each other off. But another way evil is considered in Scripture is evil are those bad things that happen that sometimes even happen to good people, like they get cancer or they... Well, they wanted to happen in David's day, but maybe they have a chariot crash instead of a car crash. Whatever kind of evil you can think of, a tower falls on them. It says, let evil hunt them, meaning not that they'll have one problem, but one problem on top of another. Actually going after them as if evil were personified. Fifthly, David's confidence expressed again in the Lord's help. Verses 12 and 13. He says, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name, and the upright shall dwell in your presence. Not only does the Lord help David, but he helps all the afflicted and poor in their circumstances. When they're being oppressed, God is on their side. God's people, the righteous, they thank God and they dwell with him. The upright shall dwell in your presence. If they're homeless, they're never homeless because they dwell in God. He's their ultimate home. He will be their heavenly home. Evil, violence, lies, poison, traps, and snares are no match for David's fervent prayers. His prayers are his strength. His God is his strength. 2 Corinthians 10:4, Paul writes, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We don't have the same weapons that the enemy has. And in David's case, if this was Saul at the time, he had all the weapons on his side. David had whatever he could gather. And yet the one weapon that David had going for him more than anything else was what Paul calls all prayer, a spiritual weapon. And it brought God to his side. And so Saul chased and chased and chased and tried to catch David, but he never did. One time he had him surrounded on a mountain. And as he had David surrounded on that mountain, all of a sudden, some soldiers from another area, Saul's own soldiers, come and tell Saul, the Philistines are attacking here. And Saul had to go and fight the Philistines, and he wasn't able to catch David. God was in control of all of those things. And so he is still. If evil comes after us, even as we said this morning, even if they kill us, what do? They send us to heaven to be with Jesus. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the things that express this to us. And Father, we thank you that evil is something that you frustrate. That evil men will ultimately be frustrated and ultimately will wind up in hell. They won't win. They lose. And godly people, however they may seem to lose on this earth, in the end will win in heaven. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that your Son, our Lord Jesus, who seemed to lose while he was on the cross, had the victory because he rose from the dead. And Father, we thank you that that is the picture for us if we trust in him, that we also will rise, and not only from the dead, but ultimately to heaven. And we thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
One question.